Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing here in mid-August on a Thursday morning. Joining me from Oakland, California is Anscapes' Mark Spears. Hello, Mark. How was you? How are you? How's your summer going?
I rode my bike yesterday. That was fun. Went fishing a couple weeks ago. I think
yeah. We made
This was another fishing excursion, but go ahead.
I just love how you fell in love with fishing in the bubble.
Yeah. You know what my other new hobby is, Brian? Well, go ahead and finish on that.
It's like you and Clay. I feel like you and Clay, Clay, like when he was recovering during COVID, got into the boat. I feel like you should be out on Clay's boat
fishing. I should. And he hasn't invited me.
Oh.
And he shot me out a couple times because he said I was the first person he interviewed in the Bay. He hasn't invited me on the boat. I'm kind of disappointed. I only had to bring my fishing pole. I just wanted to go with Captain Clay and take that ride. You know what I'm saying? I'll bring a life jacket with me. But you know what my latest one is?
I can't even wait for this.
Vinyl collection.
Boy, you are straight on midlife crisis with that, man.
No, I'm loving it, Brian. I'm loving it. And they're collector's items too, man. So it's like, figuring out puzzles, trying to get it and get the ones I want. But
do you like them for the nostalgia, or do you like them for like the quality of the audio or whatever?
Probably both. But, you'll laugh at this. My wife was like giving me a hard time about it. She's like, we have all the streaming services. Like, why do you need these records? Right. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then I played this Mary J. Blige, What's the 411 album? And the way it sounded, she rarely gives me a my bad, but she gave me.
You enjoyed that one?
Oh,
you savored,
man.
That.
I can't tell you what the last one was before it, but she was like, you're right. It does sound better. So I've been on a hunt to get I might have 100 albums now, but I'm on a hunt for a few in particular.
Wow. Man. And, it's the hunt that you like, right? I mean,
but it's been cool because I've been going to different vinyl stores in different cities. You know, I went in Boston during the finals. I went in New Orleans. Shout out to Peaches Record Store. Like, it's amazing.
That just sounds amazing.
Yeah. I got a nice, cool Peaches t-shirt that I wore yesterday. I've been on the hunt for a couple things, man. Yeah. I've been wanting to get anybody out there that could sell me a Rihanna anti-album. That's what I'm on the hunt for. But they started $350.
Oh my God. Now you need to find some, be going to yard sales.
No, I did get, shout out to my cousin, Jeffrey Armont. God bless my aunt and my uncle. They passed within the last 2 years and he sent me a lot of their old albums.
Okay.
So I was listening to a beautiful Stevie Wonder album a couple of days ago. So shout out to him.
Well, there's a woman I know who lives in New York City. I won't say her name because I don't want to. She's been involved with rock and roll for decades, and she's lived in the same apartment in New York for like 45 years because these New York folks who doesn't move, rent control, whatever.
Yeah.
And she has like a record collection of like, I don't know, like 5,000-8,000. I don't know. I don't even know. It's thousands.
Yeah.
And she wants to sell it, but she wants to sell it all for one big price. She doesn't want to sell it piecemeal.
And you know what? You can find somebody that will buy them.
Yeah, she might.
Like, in my record stores that I've been, carousing, one guy said, yeah, I have a big shipment coming in. Somebody passed away and he bought all their records and stuff like that. So,
hey, I believe it. All right. Well, we do talk about the NBA, but I'm glad you're enjoying your summer.
You asked.
No, I did. This is great. I wish we could do it. But, the tagline of the show is we talk about the NBA. It's about brand awareness at this point.
Yes, true. True.
We'll do a bonus podcast on that.
Yes.
So this last week, obviously the big news, I mean, we're on a different schedule right now, so it's a couple of days by, but there hasn't had an opportunity much to talk about it with, the meeting that Kevin Durant had in London last week. Now, I was in London last week, and I've wondered, like, what would have been amazing if I like went into a Starbucks and saw like Joe Tsai and Kevin Durant in the back with chai tea and you know, lattes. Ronnie
Scott's Jazz Club.
Yeah, I'm sure it happened in a glorious hotel suite that cost $10,000 a night. But I was thinking how funny that would be. So I really, what I'm not sure about Spears is, I think the two most important things to me coming out of this are, one, that Durant is not changing his stance on wanting to be traded.
Yeah.
Because there was some thought like, man, they haven't been able to find a deal for him. You know, Kyrie seems to be a little bit more settled. Maybe he would be willing to come back and try it again. There was like this feeling like, and like Durant like made it clear, like, no, that's not happening. I still want to be traded. Doesn't mean he will be traded, but I think that was an important thing because we didn't know where Kevin was after 6 weeks of this trade, because he hadn't, at least in any meaningful way, express that. Two is, a lot of people focused on the first part of this, the tweet that Joe Tsai sent, which was, he was saying basically he's not firing Steve Nash and Sean Marks. I'm interested in the second half of what he said, which seemed like a basic sentence, but I don't think was basic, which is when he said, we're going to do what's best for the Brooklyn Nets. That seems like something you would say in passing. But what I think he's saying there is, we're not making a trade to satisfy Kevin. We're making a trade to satisfy us. And so they both kind of doubled down on their position. Kevin doubled down, they wanted to be traded. And the Nets doubled down that they're not going to be pressured into a trade because Kevin is trying to make it uncomfortable. You've seen a lot of things in the NBA. There have been coaches who have been, star players are trying to get coaches, you know, the NBA is 75 years old. There's probably been star players trying to get players coaches, what, for like 74 and a half of those 75 years. Yeah. And there will be for another 75 years. It's the nature of the NBA. I'm not really reactive to that. I just don't know exactly, like, I think it was presented that the Durant made those requests at this meeting, but I'm not 100% sure that's true.
Yeah.
So I really am setting that aside. I'm sort of ignoring that, Spears. I don't know how you saw it.
Yeah, I've kind of heard the frustration with Sean Marks. Wouldn't it be the first time that a star and a general manager didn't see eye to eye, right?
Right.
The Nash thing was kind of a new thing because, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin and Kyrie wanted Nash, right? There wasn't even really a coaching search there. This is, I don't know that Nash gets hired without their blessing, correct?
True. And I think people are doing sort of like that. They're saying, well, what about this? What about you wanted him hired? And again, I'll say, well, yeah, but that's commonplace in the NBA. A player wants a coach and then a player's done with the coach. Like, that's not surprising to me. If he,
but really I think was, that, but that was new to me. This Marks thing I've heard in the past, and I actually talked to Sean Marks this summer a little bit at Summer League, and he definitely didn't seem stressed. He definitely didn't seem in a hurry. He talked about an upcoming vacation to Hawaii.
Sounds great.
Yeah, like, so I think you're right on it. What you said earlier is, they're going to do what's best for them. And I always have this quote, man, that Pau Gasol told me once that just always rings in my head. He's like, it's great being a free agent, but then after you sign, everything goes out the window. You have no power anymore.
Your power is limited. I mean, I think he still has, you know, Kevin could probably still dictate their travel schedule. Like, hey, we're going to stay an extra night in LA. I think they'd let him do that. But I don't think he is, especially after you've demanded a trade. I'm not sure you can dictate the hiring and firing.
Yeah. And so, but also, I mean, you signed a deal, so you can't dictate that they're going to trade you either. Right. And you just saw what happened with Ben Simmons and the ridicule that he received. I can't see Kevin sitting out.
Well, I don't know what his choice is at this point, Spears. I think that, again, so after the initial wave where the report from The Athletic came out and then Sy's tweet came out, at that point, I'm starting to think about training camp, because by going this route, Kevin's options are a little bit limited. If he, you know, he's asked to be traded. He's been told, you know, no, or at least not now. He's asked for the coach and general manager to be replaced, and they basically has been told no. So you just show up at camp and just accept the L and say, okay, well, I asked and they said no, and I'll just play here. I mean, that, I agree with you that I think it's, I find it hard to believe that Kevin would just sit on the sidelines fully healthy and miss games.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the Nets position that ultimately he would play. But at this point, I mean, with this aggressive posture, I think it makes it hard for him to come to camp, because if he comes to camp, he's kind of raising the white flag.
Yeah.
There's been some reporting that I have not personally heard this, but there's been some reporting to this, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. You know, in the off season, the Nets let go Adam Harrington, who was their one of their assistant coaches, who that's his guy that he works with on a daily basis. You know, on teams, every player has like an assistant he works with. Some of the assistants have two or three players.
Yeah,
you know, there's the development assistant who works with the young guys. There's a big man who works with the big men. And star players. There's some star players that tend to have guys they like to work with. And so it's been reported that, you know, they let this guy, Adam Harrington, go, and that Durant wasn't even told. He found out after the fact.
Yeah, that's not good.
And that he's actually been continuing to work out with him. Now, the question is that really enough to, you know, cause you to demand a trade? But I think it's probably just one more, log on the fire. And look, let's just be honest. I don't think Steve Nash has exactly made anybody forget about Red Auerbach out there. and in that playoff series against the Celtics, Ime Udoka had some impressive coaching maneuvers against him. But when you hire
it's hard to judge Nash based on all the turmoil, to me.
I agree. I would love to know. Now, I mean, let's just remember who Steve Nash was as a player.
Yeah.
Steve Nash was an ultimate competitor.
Yeah.
He was hard-nosed. He was relentless.
I played against him in college.
West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
West Coast Conference clash. He said many times that, you know, putting you in the pick and roll was one of the most difficult things he ever did. he through the back part of his career, he fought those back injuries and, you know, laid on the court and, you know, just did everything he possibly could to keep playing. And he's just the mentality of Kyrie Irving. It just is not who I just can't believe that Steve Nash has worked with Kyrie Irving every day and thinks, boy, this is the way to conduct yourself. And, Steve Nash has done nothing but praise Kevin, and nothing, as far as I can see, nothing but set things up for him. This is a very respected, he may not be a great coach. He may never be a great coach. He may be a great coach down the line. He's not a great coach now. I think he'd admit that. But I don't. I would love for him to write a memoir about these years, Spears, so that we can know what Steve Nash is really feeling, because he looks like he's been like sedated during press conferences.
You know what he looks like, and Brian, you know this from past years. he looks like old Knicks coaches. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when how Isaiah was when he was coaching the Knicks. And like, the Knicks could bring in the nicest guy in the world and turn him into a jerk, right? Or just turn him into despondent. And
it happened kind of with Mike Woodson.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had that one really good year, and then they just kind of withered on the vine, and, you know, he turned kind of surly.
Remember when Woodson was sitting in the stands at Summer League, and, you know, God bless him, Jonathan Sopranowicz, who I need him to write a book about his time with the Knicks.
Yeah.
The PR guy. He sat in the stands at Summer League, not on the actual stairs, next to Woodson's seat to make sure that nobody talked to Woodson.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and just the look on Woodson's face, that's Nash right now. It's just,
I mean, Mike Woodson has been involved in the NBA. I mean, now he's coaching at Indiana, but he was involved in the NBA for like 35 or 40 years. I mean,
yeah,
he could handle his business, but
he's a grown man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say the same thing about Steve Nash. He's a grown man.
Yeah.
I always think of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I can't remember what year exactly he asked for the trade from the, from the Bucks, 70. Let me see when that was, but
73.
Yeah, I think. So you know, he had a meeting right before the start of the season, and it was with Wayne Embry, who was the general manager, and, you know, Kareem was the driving force of the championship team, but Wayne Embry had built the team. He had gone out and gotten Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
And you know, the year before they had gone to the finals.
1974, by the way.
And lost, I believe, in seven.
Yeah.
So he got traded in 75, but in 74, he comes to a meeting right before the start of training camp. And he requests a trade. They have this, I remember reading about it. They have this dinner at this hotel in Milwaukee. I remember they ate beef Wellington, and it was like a real cordial dinner. And then it was in a hotel suite. And then afterwards, Kareem and his agent says he'd like to be traded. And he said he wanted to go to New York, LA, or Washington. And it, by the way, it stayed secret for like 9 months. It came out like right at the end of the season, which is a different time and era. But the point I'm trying to make is, this is 1974, so this is 48 years ago. Moments after Kareem makes a trade demand to the Bucks, Wayne Embry volunteers to quit. Basically, do you want me to be fired? This is a guy who is the previous 2 years, the previous 3 years, they've won a title, been to the finals, been to the conference finals. He obviously had built the team. He said, do you want me to be fired?
Yeah.
And the reason that Wayne Embry said that was because he knew that if anybody in the world who had to choose between him and Kareem, they would choose Kareem and he would be gone. And so my point is that was going on 50 years ago. 50.
Yeah.
It's going to go on in 50 years from now.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Durant would want to have some say in who the general manager is, it's not shocking. We can debate whether or not it's smart business or whatever. It's not shocking, but the way he's gone about this has really limited his options. If he had asked for a change in the general manager a year ago before his extension, and he had good reasons, he's like, look, I didn't like the Harden trade. I didn't like this or whatever. I mean, he probably would have gotten it done. They probably would have tried to talk him out of it, but the way things are going, he just doesn't, you know, he's put himself in a position where he doesn't have the clout. He doesn't have the leverage because of the contract, and the way he's handled this summer, it just hasn't been ideal, and it's not getting him what he wants, Spears.
And you tweeted out something, or maybe you said, I think you said this on NBA Today recently, is that it's hurting his trade value too, right?
Yeah.
I want to see if you can expound on that a little bit.
So as I was talking,
an interesting nugget.
Yeah. So I was talking to some after this came out, I just kind of wanted to know how people were reading it, because I was kind of scratching my head. Now, there's some information that I don't have, of course. I wasn't at the meeting. I don't know when he asked for Nash and Marks to be fired. It was my understanding, and I'm certainly not saying that I know it all here. I have pieces of the puzzle. It was my understanding that when Kevin asked to be traded, the Nets were a little bit confused as to what his reasoning was. They had some theories, and they may have known that he had some animus towards the job that Nash and Marks were doing. But maybe I just didn't have the information. Maybe I'm just behind on this. But when I talked to people and did reporting after the trade demand, I never heard that he had asked for that those firings. But again, I've subsequently heard that that didn't stun the Nets. So I don't know where the truth is. But that was that request, whether it happened in June or whether it happened in August, under these circumstances, it was confusing to me because the season ended 4 months, 3 months ago for him. So I was trying to figure out, I was trying to get my arms around.
But it all came out after the Kyrie Lakers stuff came out, right? So I have to believe there's a connection there.
Well, I have to wonder about Kevin hanging out the last 10 days in Europe with Harden. They're going to Travis Scott concerts. They're in Barcelona. They're in Saint-Tropez. I mean, they're looking like they're having an awesome time. You know, they've been friends for a decade.
Yeah.
And Harden wanted out of there. And so now I'm wondering, I mean, not like I'm saying that, oh, you know, just because he's not hanging with Kyrie, you know, that's a thing, but like he clearly is still boys with Harden.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to get my arms around it. So I'm talking to teams out there,
good luck.
Including some teams that have been in negotiations with the Nets about Durant. I'm like, what do you make of this? And they're like, this is not making anybody want to improve their offer.
Yeah.
Because really what's happened is that the Nets have basically said none of these offers are any good. And these other teams are like, well, that's our offer for right now. And so we're in a stalemate. And the Nets want something to happen that increases the offer. And so this move is not going to increase the offers. And in fact, the Nets sort of hardening their position with what Joe Tsai said in that tweet made it clear they weren't going to take a discount.
Yeah.
Their position on demanding a massive premium is not changing. So I don't think there's really been a move. I don't want to say Kevin's farther away from getting traded, but he's not closer.
No.
But whatever he was trying to accomplish in that meeting.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. And I wish I had all the information. I just have to be honest, Mark, I don't have it all. I would like to know when I'm going to try to find out. I don't know if I'll be successful. I'd like to know who asked for the meeting.
And I'm curious as to what good comes from leaking that out on both sides.
Well, you have to wonder if it was a leak because... For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. I listen to a lot of audio content. Is that the correct way to say what we're all doing right now? So that means I spend a lot of time with headphones in my ears. And recently, those headphones have been Raycon. They are absolutely terrific, and their wireless earbuds do it all. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, those earbuds are so comfortable, and they will not budge. Trust me. And this is, I think, the best thing I can say about them. They give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. You do not need to focus on recharging them all the time. You can trust them for days on end with that kind of battery power. And they're priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. They've got three customizable sound profiles. They've got earbud tap functions, noise isolation, and an awareness mode. So go to buyraycon.com/hoop today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/hoop to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/hoop.
Or sometimes somebody on either side wanted it out. This is one of those cases where it makes both sides look, it's not good for either.
I agree.
I don't know what benefit comes from either side having that out.
I agree, but it was interesting that Joe Tsai found no problem in coming out and making a statement about it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I just don't know, you know, Travis Scott had a concert scheduled in London for a while. In fact, I think I was in London. I saw ads for it. He was having, I believe, 2 or 3 days of concerts in a row at the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
That was on the books for a long time. I don't know when Kevin and Harden decided to go, but I'll bet it wasn't the day before. So Durant was in London. So his schedule dictated he was in London. Did Tsai come over there to meet with him? Like, that's a kind of a big ask. I mean, for all I know, Joe Tsai's got business in London, or he's got business in Paris, and he was on his way. And, you know, when you've got your own jet, it doesn't matter. But still, you know, it's one thing to ask, hey, I'm in New York, can you come to LA? I mean, that's a kind of a big ask. That happens.
Yeah.
But to fly over to London, like, that's, you know, somebody, maybe their schedule's just a line, but somebody made some effort there.
Yeah.
So that, you know,
well,
that
is, I mean, Joe Tsai's effort is a very nice plane. It ain't like me and you, like the trek you just took to London with your, you know, going, were you even direct?
No.
trust me, he flew in a much nicer capacity than you did.
I am well aware. We were 5 hours late getting in, and I missed the soccer match I was going
to
go to.
He went to a private airport, I'm sure, Brian.
I'm sure he did. Yes, I'm sure he didn't have as much issue checking his bags.
He probably slept in his bedroom on the plane.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure his plane is absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. But I'm just saying, still, like, regardless of the comfort of the trip, it's time.
Yeah.
For a billionaire, that.
Well, I mean, but valuable. Kevin's worth that. Like, I mean, they had to meet at some point.
I agree. I
think maybe perhaps he was hoping that he could figure it all out.
But again, I don't have the information, but like, here's the thing. My feel on this is that the Nets are trying to sell Durant on coming back.
Yeah.
And give it another try. So like, my feel, again, I'm going to underline it if I can, because I don't want to be pigeonholed into a report. My feel is that Tsai was like, okay, I'll come to London because I want to have a spirit where let's try to make this work out. And then Durant was like, nope, I still want to be traded. And by the way, I still want Nash fired and Sean, you know. And so like, if I had the details of how that came down, it would make me have a better feel of just where they are. Because the other thing that's wild about this, Spears. So last year on the first day of training camp, I was in Brooklyn, and that's the day we found out that Kyrie couldn't participate because he was unvaccinated, and it set the tone for the entire Nets season. And at the same time, you know, a couple, you know, 100 whatever miles away down in Philly, Ben Simmons was not reporting. And now media day is coming in about 6 weeks. I don't know what could happen. 100 different things could happen. Yeah. But now you're going to have Ben Simmons, you know, from what I understand, smiling and having high hopes for this season. And Kyrie appears to be on better terms with the Nets than he was 2 months ago. Cy is tweeting nice things about him. The Nets are putting Kyrie videos on their social media, and everybody seems nice and happy. And there was a couple of remarkable stories that were in the media this week. And one of the stories was a story came out in the New York Post, I believe, that indicated that Kyrie also didn't like Steve Nash, or he hates Nash and Marks. That was reported. Mm. And his stepmother, who's also his agent, gave him on the Miss record Riley. Quote, Shetalia Riley Irving, Mrs. Riley Irving.
Yeah.
She went on the record, which she has not done regularly, as far as I know. And she said, Kyrie does not hate Steve or Sean. That's not part of his being, nor how he represents of himself in the world. He's about peace, love, and acceptance.
Hmm.
End of quote. That's just an absolutely amazing little moment in this journey we're on. He doesn't hate anybody. He's about peace, love, and acceptance.
Yeah.
Like that.
Hating just somebody and not working with them are two different things.
Right. Not wanting so to work also, with them. I want to just, and I'm not saying that this, what I'm about to read you, is relevant to what's going on, but I think that it should be on the record because it is on.
Yeah.
The Kevin Durant's agent, Rich Kleiman. Durant and Rich Kleiman were producers of a documentary that just came out on the great New York City point guards. I believe it was called Point God.
Excellent point documentary. Got okay. Must see documentary. Make sure
I
you
have
see
not
it.
Seen it. I have not seen it. So Rich. Kevin was not available for many interviews around this because he's in a trade demand.
Yeah.
So Rich did some interviews, and there was a story in Billboard magazine all about Rich Kleiman. And the whole story is about his whole career and how he got to know Mark Ronson and Jay-Z when he was coming up in the business. And it's actually a good background piece. It's not really much about Kevin at all. However, this quote is in there, and I just think it should be noted. I definitely want to be part of an NBA organization at one point in my life, whether that's an ownership or being the president of team or doing it with KD after he retires. What Leon Rose and Bob Myers have done, those are incredible jobs. Would I want to run a prestigious organization? Why not? This story comes out with Rich Kleiman on the record. Now look, he could have given that interview 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He could have given that interview 12 weeks ago. But I think it's interesting that in the same time that Kevin Durant is asking for the general manager to be fired, that we have a story with his agent saying he wants to be a general manager like Bob Myers and Leon Rose.
Yeah.
These are two quotes that, you know, just I just have watched in the last week. Go, okay. Like I'm going to hold on to that, to Mrs. Riley Irving's quote about how Kyrie is only believes in love and acceptance. And I'm going to refer to it because I think that's one of those things where you're like, oh, really?
You know what's sad about this, Brian? I'm going to just jump in here, man. These two guys on the basketball court are just like beautiful, poetic, elite box office. Kevin Durant's the best scorer in the world. Kyrie with a basketball is like Curly Neal of 2022. Mm. It's just,
yeah.
It's just so, I can't name I can't name five players I love watching more play than them guys, right? Yeah. There might be four, but I can't name five. And it's just, I just wish it was just about basketball, man, because we are missing what should be some of the greatest basketball this league has ever seen from now. And I've gotten to know Kevin really well. I think I know Kyrie pretty well. I like them both as people. And I hate
I like Kevin. Yeah. I like Kevin a lot. I like Kevin a lot.
I do too. And I hate that this has become them. Like this is the day to day. And this is the bed they made, right?
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant is the living in the Bay Area. Those couple years I got to be close and watch him play. I mean, I'm blessed to see Steph Curry a lot, but to watch him play is just the greatest offensive player I've ever seen. Like, unstoppable. And I just hate that this is so easy. And I hate that this is part of his resume for him, man. And this is part of Kyrie's resume. Like, because they're two great of basketball players. Like, we haven't talked nothing about KD's jump shot or his ability to be unstoppable, or Kyrie's dribbling skills. And it's like, it's all like the reality shows my wife watches, man. That's what this feels like. Like, I just wait for somebody to throw a drink on somebody, you know?
Spears, you're so right, because like, what we should be talking about is there's been some concept that Ben Simmons could play center for this team this year.
Yeah.
And when you think about those lineups where you'd have Simmons at center and he could be protected by Durant and Kyrie and Seth Curry and Joe Harris, that would be one of the most potent shooting lineups that you could ever see. And you could have Simmons defend the center position and then potentially be the creator or work in pick and roll with any of those guys, spreading the floor. I mean, that's terrorizing stuff. You know, you think about like what happens, like, you know, when they have Royce O'Neal in there to add to defense where they can improve defensively. What if TJ Warren, I mean, I know he's got like this chronic foot problem, and I'm not, but what if TJ Warren comes back and is the guy who was in the bubble?
No question.
He's one of the best players in the NBA. Yeah. Like there's a lot about this team. And I mean, I would assume that this is one of the things that Joe Tsai would want to talk to Kevin about. Like, look at this team. You know, Bobby Marks on NBA Today this week said this is the best Nets team Durant's been on. And I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I said it a couple times.
On NBA Today a couple of days ago, I'm like, they asked us to do this win projection. I'm like, there's no team in North American sports that is harder to project than them right now, because they could be out of the playoffs and they could be number one.
Well, you know, the NBA schedule hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's probably for a reason. Like, you gotta
exactly. I mean, there's never right. There's never like a definitive date when it comes out. But and we've been in COVID, so we've been off. But typically, it is usually out in early to mid August.
Yeah. Do you include Brooklyn right now?
I mean, you know, like, do you put Brooklyn in on a premium Christmas Day game or not?
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
but I mean, to your point, like, that team, I believe Ben's going to be ready to play, right? I know people want to hate on his shooting, but he's an all-star and he's an incredible player to me. Like, if they just gave this a chance, and it's just too much. Like, I think they could have a really special team, and it's just sad that we are talking about what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
We should be at this point in mid early August, like, scrambling. We should be talking schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
We should talk more about my vinyl collection that I'm trying to grow.
Yeah.
And fishing places and
yeah,
you know,
we should be talking about the uniforms. All the teams are coming out with they're bringing back throwback. So the Pistons are coming out with the horse teal.
Did you like that?
No, I hated it.
I did too. I didn't like it. I hated the color.
No, I mean, I kind of get, you know, it's kind of a cool, it's kind of a novelty. I saw the Warriors are bringing back the Run TMC, uniforms.
Yeah, have you seen their new one? The like Cal Berkeley, with it, people are calling them the Cal Berkeley uniforms. They're kind of awful.
I haven't seen them, but I saw that the Lakers.
I like
the
Run TMC one. Is dope.
The Lakers are bringing back like the powder blue Minneapolis Laker. It's not going to say. Those uniforms, I think, said M LPS on them.
Yeah.
Or not L, but whatever, whatever it was. This is just going to say, I think, Lakers. But, I mean, those
MPLS, people, right?
MPLS. Those people will love those. That's what we should be talking about.
The powder blue, UCLA looking like. Those are pretty.
I think it would not surprise me if we see number six, those powder blue number six jerseys start to be pretty coveted.
Oh, no question. You know, and we have to give a shout out to soccer, to football, F-U-T-B-O-L.
Proper football.
Yes. Because they were the ones that came out with the kits, the jerseys, mm-hmm. the every year. And I used to like, why are they always putting out these new kits every year, these new jerseys every year? And it's because they want to sell. I remember Kobe Bryant was saying, yeah, the reason why my jersey's not number one anymore is because everybody has it. Right. And that was before they started like putting out new jerseys and eight different jerseys every year. And that's a soccer.
Well, thing. I just remember in terms of jerseys, like the league used to be kind of strict. Like they were like, okay, you can wear special jerseys, but you can only wear them
Christmas.
I don't remember the exact number, so don't hold me to it, but you can only wear them six times, you know, and you had to like pick them, you know, before the season. That's the way it used to be. And now like teams have custom courts, you know, like you show up for a Warriors game and you don't know what court is going to be down.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the Oakland court?
That's funny. They never wore the Oakland jerseys or mentioned Oakland on the court while they were actually in Oakland. But once they left Oakland, all of a sudden Oakland got love.
I know. But that kind of, there's all kinds of politics embedded in jerseys. Like, for example, the Bucks logo now has an outline of the state of Wisconsin. Why does it have an outline of the state of Wisconsin? Is it because they embrace their fans from Lake Superior to Racine on the border? I mean, yes, but the real answer is because when they built their arena, they needed money from the state. Mm. They got money from the state to help build the arena. And they wanted to, you know, there were people like, you know, hours away from Milwaukee going, why is my tax dollars going to that? And so they wanted to embrace, we are Wisconsin. So their logo now has the whole state of Wisconsin logo. And for a while, they used to have their training camp in Madison. As soon as they got that money, they would have their training camp at University of Wisconsin. and again, I'm not even singling them out. Like, oh my God, like there's politics and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, we should be talking about the jerseys right now.
Did you see that the Wizards brought theirs back? They're all.
Which one? The Bullets jerseys or the Wizards jerseys?
The Wizard, like the first Wizards jerseys.
Oh, that sort of that hat. That like the jester hat or whatever.
Gilbert, the one Gilbert Arenas used to wear and all that.
I will say this though, Spears. I loved watching Gilbert Arenas play.
Oh, I did too.
Loved it.
I did too.
And you know, that was a guy.
Agent, what was it? Agent Zero?
Agent Zero, man.
Hibachi.
He was Hibachi.
Great podcast too. He's a character.
Oh man, I loved, you know, the incident in the locker room sullied his career, but I mean, what an incredible player to watch. And so that's what I think about when I think about those Wizards jerseys.
Yeah. Remember at the All-Star in Denver when I think Shaq dared him to join the people jumping off on the trampolines during the timeout.
Oh my God. I was there, but I don't remember that.
And Gilbert Arenas like ran in line with them and jumped on the trampoline and dunked.
What I remember about Gilbert is he had like supposedly $1 million birthday party. I have no idea what it was actually $1 million. He had $1 million birthday party after a game one night. And you know, it, like
He was the greatest, one of the greatest combinations of player and character in the league. For sure.
Yeah, okay, so his 25th birthday party. Yeah, so Gilbert Arenas had a $1 million birthday party for 7,500 people. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
$7,500 closest friends,
I guess.
Yeah. In DC?
Yeah, I was in DC. And I feel like there was a game that day, but don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
DC
quietly at that time had one of the greatest club scenes and maybe the best club scene in the country. There was this guy, and I forgot his name, but he did down to a science. Like clubs that were like four stories high. And so I'm assuming that Gilbert went to one of that man's places.
Yeah, it's it happened in
Mark Barnes, I think his name was.
I don't know, man. That's not my world. But
I'm trying to put you on game, Brian.
I will say this. I remember like about that time, and you know, it used to be, and I remember like Pat Riley had this rule. It used to be that, you know, teams, when they got charter planes, they would always fly after the game.
Yeah.
It was like a rule. And then teams started staying in LA, especially when there was the winter. And if they were like going to Salt Lake the next game, they would like say, now we're going to stay in LA. So teams started doing it in LA, and then maybe they would start to do it in Miami and then maybe New York. But I remember DC got in that rotation.
Yeah. Nah, DC. So teams, Mark
Barnes would start staying in DC.
And I think that was, they would connect with the guy, Mark Barnes, man. He was probably from 90 to 2010. He was one of the most legendary. He was the most legendary club promoter in the country. I'm going to give him a shout out.
DC? Yeah. Yeah. So, Gilbert, I just remember the Cavs when they played in the playoffs, they played against them three times, but I remember you remember this, Spears? We used to go in the locker room. Now we don't even go in the locker room. We used to go in the locker room before the game, and they would have their strategy boards there.
Oh, yeah. They used to cover.
We just look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that was back before people were taking photos. You know, people started taking photos. That ended real fast. But, like, I remember looking at the Cavs strategy board before, like, game one of the playoff series. And one of the bullet points on the board was, don't overreact when Arenas makes his 30 footer, because, you know, I know that this was, you know, not as covered, as not as much of attention, and he didn't do it as much as like Trae Young and Steph, but Gil like routinely tossed up like 28 footers and he would make them. He didn't make them all the time. He didn't make them as much, but
it was part of his game
for sure. This is what we should be talking about instead of Durant.
Yeah. Old stories.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. First year covering the Cavs is what?
2004.
At that time, you still got to go to practice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that Dan Issel used to, you know, they used to, and Jeff Pozdelic, and they used to let me in the Nuggets practice, and we I loved and hated it because you have to be there for the whole thing, but you got to learn. That's one thing. There's been some restriction of and fans don't care about this on media availability. But I do think 20 years ago, they allowed us to really get to know the players, really get to know, see them practice and go behind the scenes. And our seats were so much closer. I remember seeing Big Baby break down on a bench and being 5 feet away from it. And the richness of our stories, the information we were able to get, and the stories we would tell about just everything behind the scenes about the players. They've taken a lot of that away from us, which is funny because you hear fans, they're always talking about, y'all don't need to be in there anyway, but you guys want to read that, don't you? Like, don't you want the best information?
I mean, when I started, the Cavs, well, go ahead, Spears. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but you got a front court seat to LeBron James. Like, every night I had a front court seat to Carmelo Anthony. And so I do feel kind of bad for today's young reporter who didn't get those experiences, man. Like, we used to sit at the scores table and the trash talking that we used to get to hear. Like, I used to tell people the Sacramento Kings Arco Arena, which they're blowing up this week, I guess.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, they're finally blowing it up, which is sad for me. I love that trashy place, right? But they used to give us that incredible seat behind the visiting bench. Well, when I used to
go there.
That was
LeBron's first game. I was sitting right there.
And you could hear everything there, man. Like, it was the best seat, man. And I'm reminiscing about how good we used to have it. But, like,
well, the teams
now
used
the
to
teams are
practice.
Taking it all away.
I mean, there's a couple of teams that still do. But the teams used to practice in their arena.
Yeah.
You know. And I remember coming.
The Nuggets still do. Warriors do now.
Yeah, it's true. But the Warriors facility is set up a little different.
Yeah.
A little nicer.
Yeah.
But the Cavs used to practice on a practice court that was off the main concourse. Like,
no,
if
I
you,
remember.
If you, so I mean, it's still there.
They use it for something. Yeah. They were using it during All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. That's where the 75 top 75 players who were all there. That's where they actually had their photo. But so sometimes there would be events going on in the arena while they are practicing. So one day the circus is going on. It's like a Saturday afternoon practice. And there's like a matinee circus performance. Barnum and Bailey Circus is going on and we're in there and there's people just walking. And I won't say who the player is because he was a star and it'll create a headline. I don't want to do that, but it wasn't LeBron. But I come to practice and I see the player standing in line to get a hot dog.
What is practice gear on?
Going on? His practice gear is on. He's standing in line. Sure enough, he gets a hot dog and he's eating a hot dog. And he had been actually thrown out of practice because the coach had gotten mad at him. He threw him out of practice.
Ricky.
I'm not saying who it was. He was over there getting mustard. I remember that, man.
Did he have cornrows?
My memory is fuzzy. I was like, I was wondering how
first
did he pay
guess
for
was
it?
Great. Yeah. He didn't pay.
There was one time I went to practice and Paul McCartney was there playing the arena that night and he was doing a sound check. And like, we weren't supposed to, but I like walked in and like stood in the upper deck and watched Paul McCartney do a sound check. I mean,
did they see?
Anyway, what's that?
Did they notice?
No, I mean, like, it was like in the upper deck, which was like where the practice court was off, like one of the mid decks.
No, I'm saying that the Paul McCartney people noticed.
No, you know, I mean, they had like the curtains drawn, but I mean, Paul McCartney, he played like two or three songs, like to do a sound check.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What are you supposed to do? I mean,
and it's not like he's dancing and he was some handsome dude. Like you wanted,
no,
you know
he
what
was
I mean?
Wearing like a t-shirt and jeans.
You didn't care if you
totally
were sitting
that,
up at the top.
Yeah. The
it wasn't Beyonce. The concert,
No, I didn't. Well, again, I didn't record it on my phone and post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you could have stuff like that in a different time. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen with Durant, but I say that he's not closer to being traded And I think he wanted to be closer to being traded after the meeting. And so I think that this round goes to the Nets. He may still get what he wants, but this round goes to the Nets. Not that there's a winner in this situation. So,
is there any options?
Well, I will say that if indeed he doesn't show up to training camp, then they're going to pour gasoline on this.
Yeah.
Because now there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement negotiation going on at the same time. That's happening. But like the deadline for them to agree is in December. They can push the deadline back, but that's going to be going on in earnest this fall. You're going to have him potentially losing paychecks. You're going to have is a daily story. Nash is going to talk about it every day. The players got to talk about it every day.
Then you got Ben's situation.
You're going to ask Ben about it. They're going to ask Kyrie about it.
It's a mess.
That to me, it's not boiling yet. The water is just getting warm.
Oh, you don't think so?
Well, I'm just saying, a week ago, if you had asked me, will Kevin Durant hold out of training camp if he's not traded, I'd have been like, I can't see it. Now I can see it.
Yeah.
So that is what we're headed towards. But all right, Spears, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks to our producers.
Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Peace.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.